When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Yes, indeedy. Final hour of power coming up here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the August in Charge Movement. Lil and L. Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network, we'll talk a little bit of college football coming up before we get out of here. Our pal Bill Rabinowitz set to join the program. He covers Ohio State for the Columbus Dispatch, and we know how massive of a year the Buckeyes have coming up for them, so we'll get to that before we get out of here as well. Right now, though, we go out to the BetQL guest hotline is where we find our pal Logan Paulson, the co-host of the Take Command podcast, where you can find on YouTube or wherever you download your podcast. Logan, appreciate you giving us some time, big man.
Well, no, thanks for having me on, and you know I would never big time you, right? You know that.
Never. You can't big time, Logan. Come on now. Unless we're going big on big, and that is a whole nother story.
A whole nother story.
7 days of training camp practice for the Washington Commanders today. On record, the first fully padded practice as they went shoulder pads, pants with pads on as well. From the first seven practices, Logan, just general overarching theme here, what's been your biggest takeaway?
Well, I think the thing that I'm most impressed with is probably the coaching structure of practice. You know, just how Dan is managing practice, managing the workload of the guys. I've also been really impressed with the defensive installs and the stuff they've got going on there. Offense, I think, has come along really well as well. But I think just like all the talk about the coaching hires, you know, the offensive defensive staffs seems to be coming to fruition. You're really getting to see a team that I think embodies Dan Quinn's vision for this group and kind of what he values, you know, the energy, the enthusiasm, the teamwork, the camaraderie. It's all there for you, the competition. And I think, you know, if anything that you can draw from these first couple of days, it's that is what's happening, which I think is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's something that, you know, I noticed right away is there, specifically with the defensive line. I heard Deron Payne talking about this. just how everything is purposeful. There's no wasted time in practice. There's never a period where guys are just standing and watching. When special teams is going on, the big fellas are getting in their individual work, and I think they've done a really nice job maximizing their time on the practice field. And you've noticed, big fella, an hour and a half at the most is what we're seeing each and every day, but that's because of the tempo that they're ultimately practicing with. Now, today we got to see offensive line versus defensive line one-on-ones for the first time. Two guys that stood out to me, Logan Paulson, was Brandon Coleman, the left tackle out of TCU, as well as Sam Cosmi. First on Coleman. One, Logan, what did you think of him coming out of the draft? And then through seven practices, am I speaking in hyperbole when I say that I think the Commanders may have found their left tackle of the future here?
Yeah, so when he was coming out, you know, I kind of had him as a guard, and I think that was probably more of an aesthetic thing. You know, he had this big cowboy collar. He kind of moved around like a guard. He was playing guard in the games that I was able to find on him. But then I think when you look at the athletic profile coming out of the combine specifically, and then you go back and watch some of the film from 2022, you see a guy who's pretty prolific at left tackle, and a guy who's got good length, got good speed, good athleticism, and good balance. And, you know, Dan's talked about that pretty comprehensively in his press conferences, is just the balance that he's shown, and that's such a big part of playing the position. Yeah. And I do think you're a big personality, big emotional guy. I think the left tackle of the future is still a touch premature, but I think you, to your credit, you're seeing elements of the athlete, the upside, the balance, the physicality that say maybe this could be the guy. I'm gonna hold my judgment till they get through the preseason game, till they get through the joint practice. But I've been very positively encouraged with kind of his progression and his confidence. You know, like in team periods, like he's locking guys up very effortlessly, which is what you want to see. Obviously, today in one-on-ones, had a couple that were tough, you know, but also had some really good ones. So I think all of the foundational elements for him are there, and I think that's something that's very encouraging. And it's just about, and it's been this way the whole time, is when does it actually click for him? You know, does it click next week? Does it click the first week of the season? But I do think he'll be at a bare minimum. They've definitely got a guy who can play football at a high level for this organization, whether that's at left, right, you know, tackle or guard. So I think he's a ball player. It's just about kind of when it clicks for him and if it clicks fast enough that he can be your left tackle.
Yeah, I think the athletic profile, as you mentioned, is really the thing that's been the most impressive. Lateral quickness has been tremendous. Got like real vice grip hands. You saw him lock up Dorrance Armstrong today in that one-on-one. The thing I loved about his rep against Dorrance today is Dorrance tried to get him outside, and then he tried to counter, and then Coleman is able to slide and beat the counter as well. So love everything we've seen from him to this point. When we do get into these joint practices, Logan, not just for Coleman, but for the entire team, what is it that you're going to be looking for here?
Yeah, I think that maybe the most significant thing for the joint practices is just, you know, over the course of training camp, you said seven practices, you get a feel and a comfortability with the defense. You know, if you're an offensive player, and if you're a defensive player, you get a comfortability with the offense, and you get a comfortable level of comfort with the people you're going against. Like, you know, I've said this on the Take Command podcast with Craig Hoffman, but like, you get to know, like when I was going against Ryan Kerrigan, like this is his move. Right. This is how he's going to play this run. And there is something to going to a new place where the defense is a little bit different, where the personnel is a little bit different. And then you have to think creatively and actually play the sport again, as opposed to just kind of knowing your opponent at such a high level. So I think that's something I love to see. I also love watching the coordinators too.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff that the offense is familiar with, with the defense, are you, Cliff Kingsbury, good enough, smart enough to make sure those guys are prepped and ready to play against kind of this quarters emphasis, this kind of amorphous, you know, modern NFL defense you're going to see up in New York? I really can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
And then with Joe Witt Jr., are you ready for what Aaron Rodgers is going to bring? And are the corners going to be ready for that dynamic receiving duo up there in New York? So I think there's a lot of things you're kind of keeping an eye on. One is general scheme, does it transfer? One is individual performance, does it transfer to this new level of opponents you're going to see? And then obviously kind of, do guys lose their minds, or do they kind of stay focused, stay nice and tight? Hopefully we see all those things when the team goes up to New York next week.
Yeah, one thing I'm looking to see, Logan, too, get chippy with the Jets, man. They're a team that's practicing hard. They're going to talk trash. I know Dan Quinn has been very you know, specific about, look, there are consequences in games for fighting. There are going to be consequences in practice if you do it. But one thing that I've loved and one thing that they've preached as a coaching staff is toughness. It's going to be a part of their identity. I think when you get the chance to hit another color jersey, man, you got to make an impact. I want to see guys playing through the whistle, finishing blocks and things of that nature. So hopefully we get that 1 week from today when they go up to Florham Park to practice against the New York Jets. One position group, two guys really, that I'm going to be watching going up against these Jets wide receivers is Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice. St. Juice, Logan, it feels like I haven't heard his name called a ton here in these training camp practices. Not a lot of tweets out there about him. I know he missed the last practice with injury and was back out there today. What have you seen from him during camp? And then from what you're hearing inside of that building, how confident are they that they can morph him into a top flight corner in the NFL? Because he's got all the measurables in terms of height, weight, speed. It's about him just being more consistent with technique.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I will say, I'll talk about my observations because no one in this building is talking about anything, right? They're everyone's very, very nice. They're very kind. It's fun to talk to them. But this is a different animal when it comes to kind of being tight-lipped and giving opinions on players. And kudos to Adam Peters for getting that done. And kudos to Dan. You know, like they're still treating all the media like they're human beings, but they're going to play their opinions and their decisions very close to the vest, which I appreciate. But what I will say is what I've seen from Benjamin St. Juice. I've seen a guy who's playing a little bit more confident, who understands, and I credit to Joe Witt Jr. for this, who understands kind of the parameters of what he can and can't get away with, what he needs to be taking away and what is kind of defensively going to be taken away. And so I think you see a guy who's much more confident. He's pressing a lot more, using those great that great length, that great short area quickness to his advantage. And all those things are things that we've been asking to see. And I think it just shows you the importance of coaching when it comes to these guys, you know, specifically corner. You know, like there can't be a more in-flux position when it comes to technique and kind of exposure in a defense than cornerback. And so it's really awesome, I think, to see kind of him become a little bit more confident, him playing a little bit more effectively. And again, like, does he make mistakes? Sure. But I do think you're seeing a much more positive version of Benjamin St. Juice and a guy who obviously it's still early, but can make some plays for this defense in the future.
We're joined right now by our pal Logan Paulson, the co-host of the Take Command podcast with our own Craig Hoffman. Make sure you download that wherever you get your podcast. You can check it out on YouTube as well. Logan, one thing, and we were just talking about this before we brought you on. I said the key to this defense bouncing back next year, you know, forcing turnovers are great. I know that's what they were known for in Dallas, but they got to find ways to consistently affect the quarterback. What have you seen from them to this point in camp? We're trying to do that. And then I know the stunts and things are a big part of that. How do you find that delicate balance of calling, of when to call these stunts and then not getting caught with your pants down when teams are trying to run the football on you?
Yeah, so I think it's a fine line, right? You got to make sure you've got the right personnel to rush the passer, but that isn't always a one-to-one corollary with the person best to stop the run.
Yeah.
I think here they're genuinely suited to kind of have both. You've got interior players like Duron and John who can rush the passer and have shown their effectiveness doing that, but then you also got guys like Big John Ridgeway who can come in there and eat a double team with the best of them. So I think they have different personnel there. I also think, like, one of the things that I've loved, and we can't talk too much specifically about that because they've asked us not to, is just the general schematic elements you see in terms of who are the bigs, who are the littles. Let's put the offense in conflict. Let's make them think. Let's make sure we can identify one-on-ones based on defensive formation and defensive distribution. All those things that you see good defenses do to maximize the rushers are there for you. So I think that's one thing. Is like, you know, you talk about elevating an offense with the pen. Cliff Kingsbury has done a great job of that. I think you're seeing Joe Witt Jr. using principles to maximize that defensive line, linebackers. I'm gonna call it the rushing surface because they're so interchangeable here with some of the linebackers, with some of the defensive linemen, just putting guys in conflict that way. So I think that's what you see. And then to the first part of your question is, how do you identify when and where to use that? And that, I think, comes with game plan, right? Like, when you look at some of the stuff Dallas did, they had the Commanders, for example. Dan Quinn had the Commanders locked in. Hey, they're passing. They're doing drop back in this situation. I can call this aggressive pressure. I can call this stunt because I know that it's going to be a pass. And I think when you look at when Dan was most effective last year and this defense was most effective last year, is they had a really good feel for what the opponent was doing offensively. And so obviously as they get into preseason, as they get into the joint practices, like, I want to see what that looks like. And that's going to be hard because you can't game plan for them. But I think all the tools are at their disposal, which is really nice to see, because obviously with the previous staff, it was more like, we've got the horses, go win on your rushes.
Right.
And I think this defensive staff understands that, hey, I need to be a little bit more creative, and I can push myself to be more creative. And I think that's going to lead to a more effective pass rushing surface, even though there isn't necessarily the names involved.
For sure. I think it'll be a pass rush by committee. Logan, I can say this. You can't. I mean, it was a lazy-ass approach they took the past couple of years trying to impact the quarterback, just asking guys to win. It's lazy. You're right. I love the phrase that you used, elevating the offense and the defense with the pen. I think you're seeing that a lot with Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. I think the fascinating part about all of this is, while we're excited about, you know, some individual guys up front along the offensive line, they're still battling. Defensively, we're excited about, you know, their ability to get after the quarterback. The guy that puts it all together, though, for this group in 2024 is the quarterback, Jayden Daniels. What have you seen from him through the first seven practices? And I'm going to ask you maybe to not calm me down, but just give me your true, honest assessment of him. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Just tell me how a T.I. is, Logan, when it comes to Jayden Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, he's been an exciting player to watch, 100%. And, you know, he was a guy that obviously was very talented coming out of LSU, but a guy that, you know, there were some questions about his game. You know, how, like, the complexity of the offense at LSU, can that transfer over? The footwork, how advanced is it? And I feel like you've just seen a guy that every single day comes in, is prepared, understands what the defense is going to try and do, how to defeat the defense. He understands what the concepts and motions and shifts are trying to do the defense and where the open space is going to be. He's anticipated throws well. His touch, his ability to layer throws has been excellent. So I think there's a lot of really positive things. Obviously, he's been going against the same defense for, you know, 3 months now in terms of what Joe Witt's presenting. And that is helpful, you know, having done that, having been a part of that. Like, it's even helpful for me playing tight end. Like, I know what Jim Haslett was going to do. I know what Joe Barry was going to do. I understood what their defensive philosophy was, and it helped me play fast. I think it's the same thing for the quarterback. But in terms of taking the test that's given to you and taking the test that's in front of you, I think Daniels has done a great job with that, which I commend him for. Again, I want to see more tight window throws, more like upper level anticipation in terms of red zone. I said he anticipates well, and he's done a great job of that on comebacks and deep crossers, like impeccable stuff, really understanding where the space is going to be in the defense. But there's still some kind of finer points that I think that still need to be addressed, and I think they will. I mean, he's just literally answered every question, and, you know, he's had good days and bad days, but I think overall I'm very excited about his progress. Again, the joint practices coming up are going to be huge in terms of kind of informing where he's at, because it's going to be new defenses, new challenges. Talk about two defenses that are going to be excellent measuring sticks. You get the New York Jets, maybe one of the better defenses in football last year, and then obviously the Miami Dolphins in terms of all of the variability that they bring in the back end. Going to be tough for Daniels, but I think he can handle it, because he's handled it every step of the way.
Logan, that Miami joint practice in particular is going to be huge, man. My guy Chop Robinson, according to everything I'm hearing out of Miami, he has been an absolute menace off the edge. He's put on a bunch of weight. I don't know if I told you, I played with his older brother in Little League football, so I know a little bit about that Robinson family. Yeah, I got some ties, man, including my guy Keandre Jones, Logan, who I got to ask you about here officially on the radio. I want to ask you about that linebacker room as a whole, though, and what each guy is bringing to the table through camp. But give me all I need to know about Keandre Jones and what type of chance you think he has to make this 53.
I think he's got a great chance right now. I think he's a guy that's playing explosively. He's playing confidently. I think you see him flash, which is important for linebackers to do. I think he's doing, at least to my eye, obviously it's hard to watch everybody all the time, but he's doing the little things the right way. You know, a couple days ago, he had a TFL, had an excellent rush on McNichols, and would probably get the sack out of it. Like, he just has been flashing consistently every day. He's fast. He's a little undersized, I'll grant you, but he's doing everything you need to do. He's showing up in special teams, which is also important. So to me, you know, he's the reason that, you know, Jamin Davis might not make the team, for example. You got, you know, Bobby Wagner, you got Frankie Luvu, and I think your guys in that mix in conjunction with Pittman, I think those four guys are playing really good football. And I think it's also really interesting to watch, you know, like Bo Bauer, you know, like the fifth linebacker. Yeah. And his mastery of the defense. So it's such a juxtaposition to what's been here the last couple of years. Is like, I just listed five linebackers, six linebackers that are going to make that I think would have made the team in years past. Yeah. And now they're going to be like, well, it's these four. And I think definitely your guy Jones is going to be in that mix. And hopefully he can continue to perform well. And again, we've got the preseason coming up. We've got joint practices coming up. And those are the times where a guy like him can solidify his spot on the roster, which I would be ecstatic for, because he seems like a great kid, and he's just been playing really good football the past couple of days.
Logan, I know you got to run, so you can be quick on this one. What have you thought of the tight end room, man? They're being used a lot more. We're seeing a lot more of this 12 and 13 personnel stuff. How impactful do you think they're going to be during the regular season? What have you seen from them thus far?
Yeah, again, not revealing too much scheme, but I love how they're using Bensonnet. I love how he's kind of lining up all over the formation. I think Zach is showing that he still has some miles left in those legs. And again, his ability to kind of understand coverages, anticipate coverages, create space with his releases and stems has just been super high level. Him and Jaden Daniels seem to have a great rapport already, which is awesome. Him and Mariota, too. I mean, that's just when you have one of the better tight end, pass-catching tight ends over the last decade, he's going to find a way to develop that chemistry. And then Big John Bates is doing his thing, man. Like, he is just Mr. Steady Eddie in the run game and pass protection. He's big, he's physical, and you need a guy, you need the plow horse, and he's excellent at that role. And then you see guys like Cole Turner. I mean, he flashed with a nice catch over the middle of the field today. Obviously, every year we're talking about him making plays in this time of year. But I think he's a guy that could make the roster, which would be awesome. And then obviously the athletic upside of Armani Rodgers can't be understated. But
it's a lot of guys, Logan.
It's a good group. It's an exciting group. And I think those top three guys are doing a great job over the last 3 or 4 days of practice.
For sure, man. John Bates reminds me of a certain luscious locked tight end that used to, you know, run game for the Shanahans back in the day. But
yeah,
he's good.
yes, he's good. He's a good football player. Much better than me, but he maybe the best in the league at what he does, which is high praise.
High praise from Logan Paulson. I appreciate you giving us some time, big fella. Thanks as always, my man. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks, and I appreciate you, buddy.
That is Logan Paulson, one of the absolute best, talking all things burgundy and gold, giving it to us raw and real, keeping things one tire on the Washington Commanders. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more overtime here on The Fan.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Big shout out to our guy, Logan Paulson, giving us some time here on 106.7 The Fan. He was absolutely awesome. Talking all things Washington Commanders. Halftime of the NFL Hall of Fame game. We had a football game tonight. It's still underway. Looking here to try to check on the score. Like, the score matters here. Score doesn't really matter. What they're talking about right now on the ESPN halftime show piqued my interest and actually does matter. We broke this news earlier today as I sat in for the Rooster, Chris Russell. The LA Chargers in their quarterback situation, their offensive situation, period, all of a sudden has become a lot more dire. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert diagnosed with plantar fascia in his right foot. He's expected to be in a walking boot for the next 2 weeks, but the assumption is that he will be ready to start the regular season. But we know how plantar fascia works. I mean, everybody heals differently. I'm just thinking about in a time period where you're installing a new offense under new offense coordinator Greg Roman. You're establishing a new culture in-house with Coach Harbaugh now taking over. Are the Chargers in trouble before the season even starts here? How these reps right now are invaluable for a guy like Herbert. Even though he is, I guess, this is year four for him. He's technically a veteran. But he's learning a new offense. And he's trying to build timing with his new receivers. And for you to miss practically all of training camp, I don't know, man. I don't know. I know a lot of people have a lot of high hopes for what the Chargers could be this year because that's what Jim Harbaugh does. He goes in and turns programs around. It's hard to turn around a program without your franchise quarterback. Just saying. Speaking of Coach Harbaugh, he was the thorn in the side of Coach Ryan Day in the Ohio State Buckeyes. It is a do-or-die year up in Columbus with the most talented Buckeyes team that Ryan Day has had since he's been at the helm at Ohio State. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk all things Ohio State Buckeyes. We are going to be joined on the hotline by our guy, Bill Rabinowitz, who covers Ohio State for the Columbus Dispatch. Do or die year coming up in a new loaded Big Ten for Ohio State. Do they have good enough quarterback play to finally win the big game? We'll ask Bill Rabinowitz that next on The Fan. One final segment coming up here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock. I promised you all we would talk all things Ohio State Buckeyes and all things college football. We're joined by our guy, Bill Rabinowitz, who covers Ohio State for the Columbus Dispatch. Bill, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I wanted to have you on because of the ever-changing landscape in this brand-new Big Ten that we are expected to have. And I guess I'll break things off like this. Let's just call a spade, right, Bill? You've been doing this for a while. This is the best Ryan Day team that he's had since he's taken over as the head man in Columbus. Why is this the year that Ohio State is going to get over the hump?
Well, we'll see if they do. I would also say the 2019 team was a very special team. That was the team that lost to Clemson in that controversial game and you know, didn't get a crack at Joe Burrow and LSU. That was a special team, too. But, yeah, you're right about this year's team. And part of the reason is motivation. I mean, they've lost to Michigan three straight years. They had to watch Michigan win the national championship, yeah. Especially after the cheating scandal broke. I mean, that just, to say it's stuck in their craw is an understatement. So almost all of those guys came back, which is stunning in this day and age, even with NIL. And obviously NIL played a major role in keeping those guys there, but they came back, you know, not just for the money. They came back to win the national championship, beat Michigan, win a Big Ten, all these things they haven't done. And they went in the transfer portal and got some really, really elite players. Some Caleb Downs from Alabama, Will Howard from Kansas State, Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss, the running back. So, yeah, they're loaded.
So you mentioned the quarterback, Will Howard. What is your confidence level that he is the guy to lead this group in that national championship conversation? And then, like, with all the talent that they have on this roster already, Bill, do they need championship-level quarterback play out of Will Howard? Like, what are the expectations for him? Because it feels like he's kind of just got to not screw things up.
There's an element to that. I mean, they certainly want somebody who is a mature guy, is a leader that's not going to get fazed when things go wrong. And by all accounts, that's who Will Howard is. He's a mature guy. He's been through the wars at Kansas State. And he adds a running element, which they really want. I mean, when you watched Ohio State play, let's say, Michigan, and you saw what J.J. McCarthy could do when plays broke down, either with his legs or his arm. I mean, that's what you got to play playground football sometimes. And that was not really Kyle McCord's strength. And so they want somebody who can, you know, move the chains with his legs. If it's third and five and then they can't find a receiver, run for it. Just keep the chains moving. Is he an elite passer the way that Jay Stroud was and some of those guys? You know, no, he's not. I mean, he might not even be as good a passer as Kyle McCord. But, you know, he just has to be a guy who gets the ball to the teammates and lets them make plays. And you look at who he's got around them. Again, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins at running back. You've got Emeka Egbuka, Carnell Tate, and this freshman phenom, Jeremiah Smith. He's the next one.
I've seen the clips, Bill. I've seen the clips. Yeah. He looks like another one, as you mentioned, coming out of that factory over there.
Yeah, he absolutely is. I mean, you know, unless he gets hurt, he's the next great one. And so, you know, the offensive line was pretty shaky last year, and that should be better this year. I don't know if it's going to be elite. The two questions on the team are the quarterback and the offensive line. If the defense should be lights out, there's some questions about the kicking game. They got to find the punter, but I don't think they plan on punting a whole lot.
I was about to say, man, the thing about that, though, and I agree with everything that you said in terms of your evaluation of this year's group, Bill, I would say those are two big question marks to have. You're in a much improved conference now. Everyone's going to have that October 12th game on the road in Eugene circled on their calendar. Do you think, or what do you think the mindset is of this group now that you've added some heavy hitters now to this conference?
Yeah, I do think it's really a three-game season in a lot of ways. You have the Oregon game, obviously, October 12th. You have to go to Penn State, and it's always a tough place to play, and that's in November, and then obviously Michigan. Now, could an Iowa give them a test, you know, one of those kind of teams? Yeah, probably. You know, maybe. I mean, Iowa's obviously very good defensively, but You know, look, I mean, Iowa State's going to be a double-digit favorite in all of those other games, all of them. And so they've got some time to figure things out. They've got a very, very easy non-conference schedule. They have three essentially, they're essentially preseason games. And then they go to Michigan State, which is not expected to be very good this year. And then you've got the Oregon game. So you've got time to kind of work out the kinks and get the offensive line together and make sure that you settle on a quarterback and that you're comfortable with them. And I think this is a team, because of the offensive line, because of the quarterback, will probably be better later in the year than early in the year. But they're not going to have to be great early in the year. I mean, not until they get to Oregon, but they're really going to be tested.
This is the big question mark that I have, man, because I wasn't being facetious when I said, like, do you think they need championship-level quarterback play? Let's just be real about what Will Howard was. First of all, he lost his job. Did not have a better QBR than Kyle McCord did last season. Ohio State didn't guarantee to improve a ton at the quarterback position. What would have to happen, Bill, for us to see Julian Sain at some point this year? And how do you think he's looked through the spring, and where is he at right now?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I'm actually writing some training camp preview stuff, and I just got finished writing the Julian Sain thing.
Okay.
And don't forget about Devin Brown, because Devin Brown is – he had his chance to stake a claim to the job in the Cotton Bowl and got hurt, and that didn't happen, obviously. But he's been there – this is his third year now. He's the veteran. He looked really good in the spring. So I would not discount the possibility of Devin Brown winning the job. But in terms of Julian Sain, I don't think there's much question he's the next kind of great Ohio State quarterback. I shouldn't say no question. I think he's likely to become that. I mean, he looked really good in the spring. Polished thrower, accurate, very accurate. I mean, Chip Kelly, I had a nice conversation with him about the quarterbacks. He just said, you know, he just is as accurate as anyone he's seen. And for Chip Kelly to say something like that is high praise. He looks confident. He had to get bigger, and apparently in the summer he did. I mean, Mick Marotti really puts these guys through the ringer and gets them bigger and stronger and faster. And you know, it doesn't happen overnight, of course, but he is supposedly bigger and stronger and faster than he was in the spring. And that was the one thing when he looked at him. He looked a little small. But again, he's a freshman. He's supposed to look smaller, right? I mean,
Exactly.
He just got there, and he actually started, as we know, at Alabama. So he was a last-minute addition. It was kind of like he fell into their lap. And they have Aaron Nolan, who they were very high on, too. And don't forget Lincoln Keenholz, who was, you know, who had to get thrown into that Cotton Bowl game, and he wasn't ready. He got there. You know, he was not an early enrollee last year, so he was really the scout team guy. And then all of a sudden he has to play in the Cotton Bowl against a pretty good Missouri team and you know, with a bad offensive line, and got exposed. But I think they still remain high on him. So they have five quarterbacks that if any of them had to play, I mean, depending on the opponent, there wouldn't necessarily be panic in Columbus. I mean, you know, some more than others, of course, but all five are talented guys.
For sure, man. And I got a little bit of a bias towards Julian Sain. I'm the color analyst for Georgetown football, so we got to see his older brother, Aiden Sain. And it runs in the family, the competitive nature. Love the way that Aiden plays. And I know Julian, based on talking to some guys in that family, there is all types of high praise for him and excitement about the potential of what he could be. You mentioned new offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly. Hadn't been an offensive coordinator since 2008, but in his 12 seasons in the FBS as an OC or a head coach, he's fielded, I believe, 8 top 15 offenses. You get Ohio State back into the top 15 offensively. What does that do for this group? And if they are a top 15 offense, Bill, would you go out on a limb and say they're going to win the whole thing?
Well, I think top 15 is probably underselling it. I think they expect to be a top 10, top 5, you know, offense. Last year was kind of an aberration. They only averaged about 30 points a game, which is every other year under Ryan Day, they averaged it in the 40s. So I would fully expect them to get back to that this year. Chip Kelly is a really good X-O guy. I mean, he's brilliant at it. And he's particularly good in the run game. And that's kind of been the one thing that's fallen off a little bit. Yeah, Travion Henderson's been hurt and all that kind of stuff. But they haven't had that kind of we're going to run the ball. You know we're going to run the ball, and we're going to run it down your throat anyway. They haven't had that. They've struggled on third and one, third and two, that kind of stuff for a couple of years. More so in 22 than 23. But you didn't have the confidence that, okay, if it's third and one, it's a gimme. And used to have that. Ohio State third and one is like, don't even bother. Punter, you can sit down. And it hasn't been that way. So I fully expect him to implement a run scheme that's going to be quite effective. And again, you've got probably the top running back duo in the country with Quinshon Judkins and Trevion Henderson. I mean,
I'll tell you this about Judkins, my friend. I've been playing a little bit of NCAA 25. I mean, he's the best player in the game, dude. He's an absolute cheat code. Ohio State has been ticking people off for the past couple of weeks online, man, because they are star-studded. I want to ask you about a key portal addition that they made that I feel like is kind of going under the radar. Alabama center, Seth McLaughlin. Yeah. Seth McLaughlin, I think, what do you think he brings to this group, and why do you think they felt the need to go out and get a guy like that, returning four stars?
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, he might be the fourth best of those transfers, but he might be, other than Will Howard, the most important of them.
Yes.
Because last year they struggled at center. It was interesting because Luke Whipler decided to go to the NFL. I don't think Ohio State was particularly happy about that. They were counting on him to come back. And that left them in a lurch. And Carson Hinsman got thrust in there. And he battled, but he was not very – I mean, he struggled. He just did. And when you have a center that struggles, that's tough to overcome. You can kind of get by if your right guard struggles a little bit. But if your center isn't exactly running the show the way he should be, that's a problem. And I think Carson Hinsman is an improved player this year. Ryan Day has heaped a ton of praise on him, and he will compete for that job as well as the right guard job, which is really the only hole in the offense. But if Seth McLaughlin has solved his snapping issues, which we all know about, then he's an experienced guy. He knows the offense. I mean, that's a huge thing. I think the center position on offense, in some ways, is the most underrated on the whole team. I mean, the championship teams that Ohio State had in 2014 and 2000, those kind of teams, they had really good center play, and that's vital.
Joined right now by my pal Bill Rabinowitz, who covers Ohio State for the Columbus Dispatch. I want to ask you about some of the new teams that have entered this Big Ten and has made it a super powerhouse conference. It already was a powerhouse conference, Bill. You know that. Specifically, though, Dan Lanning in the Oregon Ducks and what he has done in that program, turning them into, one of the upper echelon teams in college football and turning them into what seems like a perennial contender. Like, what type of threat are they to Ohio State in this Big Ten? And what are you expecting on that October 12th game down in Eugene?
Yeah, I think they're the biggest threat to Ohio State. I think in the preseason rankings, you're going to have Georgia and Ohio State in whatever order, 1-2. And I think Oregon's probably going to be number 3. They got Dylan Gabriel, who was the top quarterback in the portal. And, I talked to him at the Big Ten Media Days and asked him, did Ohio State contact you? He said, yeah, but Ohio State wanted to wait. They wanted to see how Devin Brown would play in the Cotton Bowl, and Gabriel has already transferred once before. Didn't want to wait. I mean, he just was like, okay. And he went to Oregon, loved it, so there was no reason to even think about Ohio State again. But he did talk to Ryan Day. But Dylan Gabriel's a really good quarterback. Look, Nike is their benefactor. They've got all the money in the world to facilities and everything else. And that's a really good team. I mean, it's amazing what they've done with not much of a home state recruiting base, right? They really have to go elsewhere to get most of their players. But UCLA is way down. USC has struggled. And so California has been more open to them in the recruiting than probably it used to be when USC was, dominant. And it's a hot program. I mean, they're kind of a cool program. They've been that way for probably 10 years, right? 10, 15 years. Yeah. Chip Kelly started it.
For sure. For sure, man. It feels like you mentioned Chip Kelly and him kind of kicking things off there, but you mentioned with the new influx of NIL money that they've got, it feels like this is only the beginning of Dan Lanning in a tremendous reign here at Oregon, man. One of the things I always laugh at is their facilities are the best of the best. Their uniforms are the best of the best. Now you're giving them basically unlimited NIL money. I think this group in the next 4 or 5 seasons, maybe some people already look at him this way. I think they're going to be looked at as the best program in college football coming up here shortly, man. They just have all of the resources that you need to have big-time success in today's NIL era. I want to ask you a little bit about the SEC here real quick, everyone's favorite conference. First year for Alabama without Nick Saban. What are you expecting to see out of Kalen DeBoer? And do you think he could get Jalen Milroe playing the quarterback position similarly to what he did with Michael Penix in terms of growth and development? We know what he's able to do grooming quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on Kalen DeBoer or Alabama or even what he did at Washington. I mean, it's funny, when you cover one team, you're so immersed in that team that, like,
yes,
lots of other people know more about teams nationally than I do.
For sure.
I'm so immersed in Ohio State. But yeah, I mean, I think that was a really good hire for Alabama. It's really tough to replace arguably the best college coach of all time.
Yep.
And they did lose some players, you know, Caleb Downs and Julian Sand to Ohio State, Seth McLaughlin to Ohio State. So they did lose some players. So I don't think they're going to be what they were when they were clearly the best program in the country for a decade and a half or so. But I do think that they, you know, they're still Alabama. And Kalen DeBoer is a really good coach. They're going to have really good players. You know, it's not like they're going to fall off like they did. You know, they had that period well after Bear Bryant left, but they went through, you know, like mediocre seasons. I mean, they really fell off. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they'll still be really good.
Somebody else in this new SEC that I'm really interested in, a man that has overcome a lot in terms of his personal life, and I have a lot of respect of him. A lot of respect for him because of that. Coach Sark down in Austin, man. Last year, they improved in one big, winning at Alabama. And it feels like this is a group that's on the cusp of really establishing themselves once again as a powerhouse in college football. What do you make of their quarterback situation? A lot of NFL evaluators super high on what Quinn Ewers could be. What do you like about him, and then what do you think about Texas and their opportunity this year that they've got in the SEC?
Well, Quinn Ewers obviously started his career at Ohio State. You know, he wanted the Kubacha NIL money, and he got it, and then left without, you know, I think he took like one or two snaps, you know, it's kind of mop-up snaps. But he was the highest-rated recruit Ohio State had ever gotten. He was basically the perfect recruit, right? He had the perfect rating. And right, he's had some ups and downs, but he's obviously a very talented guy. He wouldn't be the top recruit in the country if he wasn't talented. But he's been a little up and down, a little inconsistent. But if it all comes together for him, the sky's the limit. And I feel that way about Texas as a program. I've always felt like, why is Texas not like Ohio State and great every year? I mean, it's in the talent-laden state. Now, they share it with a bunch of Texas schools, and Oklahoma recruits yes, heavily there. And, you know, it's not like Ohio State has Ohio to itself, essentially. But still, it's Texas. It's a huge state. It's got tons of talent and all the resources in the world. It's the one program that kind of rivals Ohio State in terms of revenue. And how they were ever like 7-5 on a semi-consistent basis was always a mystery to me. I mean, I know a lot of politics down there and lots of stuff that, you know, I'm not privy to, but just, you know, things that were issues for them. I think that once that gets cleared out and they can just be Texas, then yeah, there's no reason they shouldn't be one of the top programs in the country.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I think college football is always best when it's blue bloods are on top, and I consider Texas one of those schools. I want to go back to Ohio State for a second, and you being someone that's around that program and cover them on a day-to-day basis, what do you think the mentality is of head coach Ryan Day, man? It feels as if, you know, we mentioned it a couple of moments ago, like this is their opportunity. This feels like it's make or break this year for this group. As we sit here with all the new additions, and we know they're going to be a star-studded, loaded group on defense, try to put yourself in the brain of Ryan Day. Obviously, there's pressure, but what kind of pressure do you think is facing him this year as we both agree with the best roster that he's ever fielded out there in Columbus?
Well, I think it's a combination of tremendous optimism and also, like you said, pressure. I mean, if he were by some chance to lose at home to Michigan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
One final segment coming up here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock. I promised you all we would talk all things Ohio State Buckeyes and all things college football. We're joined by our guy, Bill Rabinowitz, who covers Ohio State for the Columbus Dispatch. Bill, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I wanted to have you on because of the ever-changing landscape in this brand-new Big Ten that we are expected to have. And I guess I'll break things off like this. Let's just call a spade, right, Bill? You've been doing this for a while. This is the best Ryan Day team that he's had since he's taken over as the head man in Columbus. Why is this the year that Ohio State is going to get over the hump?
Well, we'll see if they do. I would also say the 2019 team was a very special team. That was the team that lost to Clemson in that controversial game and you know, didn't get a crack at Joe Burrow and LSU. That was a special team, too. But, yeah, you're right about this year's team. And part of the reason is motivation. I mean, they've lost to Michigan three straight years. They had to watch Michigan win the national championship, especially after the cheating scandal broke. I mean, that just, to say it stuck in their craw is an understatement.
So almost all of those guys came back, which is stunning in this day and age, even with NIL. And obviously NIL played a major role in keeping those guys there, but they came back, you know, not just for the money. They came back to win national championship, beat Michigan, win a Big Ten, all these things they haven't done. And they went in the transfer portal and got some really, really elite players. Some Caleb Downs from Alabama, Will Howard from Kansas State, Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss, the running back. So, yeah, they're loaded.
So you mentioned the quarterback, Will Howard. What is your confidence level that he is the guy to lead this group in that national championship conversation? And then, like, with all the talent that they have on this roster already, Bill, do they need championship-level quarterback play out of Will Howard? Like, what are the expectations for him? Because it feels like he's kind of just got to not screw things up.
There's an element to that. I mean, they certainly want somebody who is a mature guy, is a leader that's not going to get phased when things go wrong. And by all accounts, that's who Will Howard is. He's a mature guy. He's been through the wars at Kansas State. And he adds a running element, which they really want. I mean, when you watched Ohio State play, let's say, Michigan, and he saw what J.J. McCarthy could do when plays broke down, either with his legs or his arm. I mean, that's what you got to play playground football sometimes. And that was not really Kyle McCord's strength. And so they want somebody who can, you know, move the chains with his legs. If it's third and five and then they can't find a receiver, run for it. Just, you know, keep the chains moving. Is he an elite passer the way that Jay Stroud was and some of those guys? You know, no, he's not. I mean, he might not even be as good a passer as Kyle McCord. But, you know, he just has to be a guy who gets the ball to the teammates and lets them make plays. And you look at who he's got around them. Again, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins at running back. You've got Emeka Egbuka, Carnell Tate, and this freshman phenom, Jeremiah Smith. He's the next one.
I've seen the clips, Bill. I've seen the clips. Yeah, he looks like another one, as you mentioned, coming out of that factory over there.
Yeah, he absolutely is. I mean, you know, unless he gets hurt, he's the next great one. And so, you know, the offensive line was pretty shaky last year, and that should be better this year. I don't know if it's going to be elite. The two questions on the team are the quarterback and the offensive line. If the defense should be lights out, there's some questions about the kicking game. They got to find a punter, but I don't think they plan on punting a whole lot.
I was about to say, man, the thing about that, though, and I agree with everything that you said in terms of your evaluation of this year's group, Bill, I would say those are two big question marks to have. You're in a much improved conference now. Everyone's going to have that October 12th game on the road in Eugene circled on their calendar. Do you think, or what do you think the mindset is of this group now that you've added some heavy hitters now to this conference?
Yeah, I do think it's really a three-game season in a lot of ways. You have the Oregon game, obviously, October 12th. You have to go to Penn State, and it's always a tough place to play, and that's in November, and then obviously Michigan. Now, could an Iowa give them a test, you know, one of those kind of teams? Yeah, probably, you know, maybe. I mean, Iowa's obviously very good defensively, but, you know, look, I mean, Iowa State's going to be a double-digit favorite in all of those other games, all of them. And so they've got some time to figure things out. They've got a very, very easy non-conference schedule. They have three essentially preseason games. And then they go to Michigan State, which is not expected to be very good this year. And then you've got the Oregon game. So you've got time to kind of work out the kinks and get the offensive line together and make sure that you settle on a quarterback and that you're comfortable with them. And I think this is a team, because of the offensive line and because of the quarterback, will probably be better later in the year than early in the year. But they're not going to have to be great early in the year. I mean, not until they get to Oregon, so they're really going to be tested.
This is the big question mark that I have, man, because I wasn't being facetious when I said, like, do you think they need championship-level quarterback play? Let's just be real about what Will Howard was. First of all, he lost his job. Did not have a better QBR than Kyle McCord did last season. Ohio State didn't guarantee to improve a ton at the quarterback position. What would have to happen, Bill, for us to see Julian Sain at some point this year? And how do you think he's looked through the spring, and where is he at right now?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I'm actually writing some training camp preview stuff, and I just got finished writing the Julian Fain thing.
okay.
And don't forget about Devin Brown, because Devin Brown is he had his chance to stake a claim to the job in the Cotton Bowl and got hurt, and that didn't happen, obviously. But he's been there. This is his third year now. He's the veteran. He looked really good in the spring. So I would not discount the possibility of Devin Brown winning the job. But in terms of Julian Fain, I don't think there's much question he's the next kind of great Ohio State quarterback. I shouldn't say no question. I think he's likely to become that. I mean, he looked really good in the spring. Polished thrower, accurate, very accurate. I mean, Chip Kelly, I had a nice conversation with him about the quarterbacks. He just said, you know, he just is as accurate as anyone he's seen. And for Chip Kelly to say something like that is high praise. He looks confident. He had to get bigger, and apparently in the summer he did. I mean, Mick Marotti really puts these guys through the ringer and gets them bigger and stronger and faster. And you know, it doesn't happen overnight, of course. But he is supposedly bigger and stronger and faster than he was in the spring. And that was the one thing when he looked at him. He looked a little small. You know, not. But again, he's a freshman. He's supposed to look smaller, right? I mean,
Exactly.
He just got there, and he actually started, as we know, at Alabama. So he was a last-minute addition. It was kind of like he fell into their lap. And they have Aaron Nolan, who they were very high on, too. And don't forget Lincoln Keenholz, who was, you know, who had to get thrown into that Cotton Bowl game, and he wasn't ready. He got there. You know, he was not an early enrollee last year, so he was really the scout team guy. And then all of a sudden he has to play in the Cotton Bowl against a pretty good Missouri team and you know, with a bad offensive line and got exposed. But I think they still remain high on him. So they have five quarterbacks that if any of them had to play, I mean, depending on the opponent, there wouldn't necessarily be panic in Columbus. I mean, you know, some more than others, of course, but all five are talented guys.
For sure, man. And I got a little bit of a bias towards Julian Fain. I'm the color analyst for Georgetown football, so we got to see his older brother, Aiden Fain. And it runs in the family. The competitive nature. Love the way that Aiden plays. And I know Julian, based on talking to some guys in that family, there is all types of high praise for him and excitement about the potential of what he could be. You mentioned new offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly. Hadn't been an offensive coordinator since 2008. But in his 12 seasons in the FBS as an OC or a head coach, he's fielded, I believe, 8 top 15 offenses. You get Ohio State back into the top 15 offensively. What does that do for this group? And if they are a top 15 offense, Bill, would you go out on a limb and say they're going to win the whole thing?
Well, I think top 15 is probably underselling it. I think they expect to be a top 10, top 5, you know, offense. Last year was kind of an aberration. They only averaged about 30 points a game, which is every other year under Ryan Day, they average it in the 40s. So I would fully expect them to get back to that this year. Chip Kelly is a really good X's O guy. I mean, he's brilliant at it. And he's particularly good in the run game. And that's kind of been the one thing that's fallen off a little bit. Yeah, Travion Henderson's been hurt and all that kind of stuff. But they haven't had that kind of, we're going to run the ball. You know we're going to run the ball, and we're going to run it down your throat anyway. They haven't had that. They've struggled on third and one, third and two, that kind of stuff for a couple of years. More so in 22 than 23. But it was, you know, you didn't have the confidence that, okay, if it's third and one, it's a gimme. And used to have that. Ohio State third and one, it was like, don't even bother. Punter, you can sit down. And it hasn't been that way. So I fully expect him to implement a run scheme that's going to be quite effective. And again, you've got probably the top running back duo in the country with Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. I mean, that's certainly their help.
Well, Bill, I'll tell you this about Judkins, my friend. I've been playing a little bit of NCAA 25. I mean, he's the best player in the game, dude. He's an absolute cheat code. Ohio State has been ticking people off for the past couple of weeks online, man, because they are star-studded. I want to ask you about a key portal addition that they made that I feel like is kind of going under the radar. Alabama center, Seth McLaughlin.
Yeah.
Seth McLaughlin, I think, what do you think he brings to this group, and why do you think they felt the need to go out and get a guy like that, returning four stars?
Yeah. You know, I think you're right. I mean, you know, he might be the fourth best of those transfers, but he might be, other than Will Howard, the most important of them.
Yes,
because last year they struggled at center. It was interesting because Luke Whippler decided to go to the NFL. I don't think Ohio State was particularly happy about that. They were counting on him to come back, and that left them in a lurch. And Carson Hinsman got thrust in there, and he battled, but he was not very – I mean, he struggled. He just did. And when you have a center that struggles, that's tough to overcome. You know, you can kind of get by if you're – right guard struggles a little bit. But if your center isn't exactly running the show the way he should be, that's a problem. And I think Carson Hinsman is an improved player this year. Ryan Day has heaped a ton of praise on him, and he will compete for that job as well as the right guard job, which is really the only hole in the offense. But if Seth McLaughlin has solved his snapping issues, which we all know about, then he's an experienced guy. He knows the offense. I mean, that's a huge thing. I think the center position on offense, in some ways, is the most underrated on the whole team. I mean, the championship teams that Ohio State had in 2014 and 2000, you know, those kind of teams, they had really good center play, and that's vital.
Joined right now by my pal Bill Rabinowitz, who covers Ohio State for the Columbus Dispatch. I want to ask you about some of the new teams that have entered this Big Ten and has made it a super powerhouse conference. It already was a powerhouse conference, Bill. You know that. Specifically, though, Dan Lanning in the Oregon Ducks and what he has done in that program, turning them into, you know, one of the upper echelon teams in college football and turning them into what seems like a perennial contender. Like, what type of threat are they to Ohio State in this Big Ten? And what are you expecting on that October 12th game down in Eugene?
Yeah, I think they're the biggest threat to Ohio State. I think in the preseason rankings, you're going to have Georgia and Ohio State in whatever order, 1-2. And I think Oregon's probably going to be number 3. They got Dylan Gabriel, who was the top quarterback in the portal. And, you know, I talked to him at the Big Ten Media Days and asked him, you know, did Ohio State contact you? He said, yeah, but Ohio State wanted to wait. They wanted to see how Devin Brown would play in the Cotton Bowl, and Gabriel has already transferred once before. Didn't want to wait. I mean, he just was like, okay. And he went to Oregon, loved it, so there was no reason to even think about Ohio State again. But he did talk to Ryan Day. But Dylan Gabriel's a really good quarterback. Look, Nike is their benefactor. They've got all the money in the world to facilities and everything else. And that's a really good team. I mean, it's amazing what they've done with not much of a home state recruiting base, right? They really have to go elsewhere to get most of their players. But, you know, UCLA is way down. USC has struggled. And so California has been more open to them in the recruiting than probably it used to be when USC was, you know, dominant. And it's a hot program. I mean, they're kind of a cool program. They've been that way for probably 10 years, right? 10, 15 years. Yeah. Chip Kelly started it.
For sure. For sure, man. It feels like you mentioned Chip Kelly and him kind of kicking things off there, but you mentioned with the new influx of NIL money that they've got, it feels like this is only the beginning of Dan Lanning in a tremendous reign here at Oregon, man. One of the things I always laugh at is their facilities are the best of the best. Their uniforms are the best of the best. Now you're giving them basically unlimited NIL money. I think this group, in the next 4 or 5 seasons, maybe some people already look at them this way, I think they're going to be looked at as the best program in college football coming up here shortly, man. They just have all of the resources that you need to have big-time success in today's NIL era. I want to ask you a little bit about the SEC here real quick. Everyone's favorite conference. First year for Alabama without Nick Saban. What are you expecting to see out of Kalen DeBoer? And do you think he could get Jalen Milroe playing the quarterback position similarly to what he did with Michael Penix in terms of growth and development? We know what he's able to do grooming quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on Kalen DeBoer or Alabama or even what he did at Washington. I mean, it's funny, when you cover one team, you're so immersed in that team that, like, lots of other people know more about about teams nationally than I do.
For sure.
I'm so immersed in Ohio State. But yeah, I mean, I think that was a really good hire for Alabama. It's really tough to replace arguably the best college coach of all time.
Yep.
And they did lose some players. You know, Caleb Downs and Julian Sand to Ohio State. Seth McLaughlin to Ohio State. So they did lose some players. So I don't think they're going to be what they were when they were clearly the best program in the country for a decade and a half or so. But I do think that they're still Alabama. And Kalen DeBoer is a really good coach. They're going to have really good players. You know, it's not like they're going to fall off like they did. You know, they had that period well after Bear Bryant left, but they went through, you know, mediocre seasons. I mean, they really fell off. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they'll still be really good.
Somebody else in this new SEC that I'm really interested in, a man that has overcome a lot in terms of his personal life, and I have a lot of respect of him, a lot of respect for him because of that. Coach Sark down in Austin, man. Last year, they improved in one big, winning at Alabama, and it feels like this is a group that's on the cusp of really establishing themselves once again as a powerhouse in college football. What do you make of their quarterback situation? A lot of NFL evaluators super high on what Quinn Ewers could be. What do you like about him? And then what do you think about Texas and their opportunity this year that they've got in the SEC?
Well, Quinn Ewers obviously started his career at Ohio State. You know, he wanted the Kubacha NIL money, and he got it. And then left without, you know, I think he took like one or two snaps. You know, it's kind of mop-up snaps. But he was the highest rated recruit Ohio State had ever gotten. He was basically the perfect recruit, right? He had the perfect rating. And he's had some ups and downs, but he's obviously a very talented guy. He wouldn't be the top recruit in the country if he wasn't talented. But he's been a little up and down, a little inconsistent. But if it all comes together for him, the sky's the limit. And I feel that way about Texas as a program. I've always felt like, why is Texas not like Ohio State and great every year? I mean, it's in the talent-laden state. Now, they share it with a bunch of Texas schools, and Oklahoma recruits heavily there. And, you know, it's not like Ohio State has Ohio to itself, essentially. But still, it's Texas. It's a huge state. It's got tons of talent and all the resources in the world. It's the one program that kind of rivals Ohio State in terms of revenue. And how they were ever like 7-5 on a semi-consistent basis was always a mystery to me. I mean, I know a lot of politics down there and lots of stuff that, you know, I'm not privy to, but just, you know, things that were issues for them. I think that once that gets cleared out and they can just be Texas, then yeah, there's no reason they shouldn't be one of the top programs in the country.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I think college football is always best when its blue bloods are on top, and I consider Texas one of those schools. I want to go back to Ohio State for a second, and you being someone that's around that program and cover them on a day-to-day basis, what do you think the mentality is of head coach Ryan Day, man? It feels as if, you know, we mentioned it a couple of moments ago, like this is their opportunity. This feels like it's make or break this year for this group. As we sit here with all the new additions, and we know they're going to be a star-studded, loaded group on defense, try to put yourself in the brain of Ryan Day. Obviously, there's pressure, but what kind of pressure do you think is facing him this year as we both agree with the best roster that he's ever fielded out there in Columbus?
Well, I think it's a combination of tremendous optimism and also, like you said, pressure. I mean, if he were by some chance to lose at home to Michigan, which would be the fourth straight loss, and doesn't do anything in the playoffs, they don't get to the championship game or whatever. He's got a new AD now. Ron Spiewoerk is the athletic director, and then he told me, you know, we all know what the expectations are. It's hard on one hand to see an Ohio State coach who loses to Michigan four times in a row surviving. On the other hand, you know, he does everything right. He's a well-liked coach. I mean, people like him personally in the building, and
for sure,
he's a good guy. I mean, he's a solid guy. And he's had remarkable success. His winning percentage, I mean, he's only been coaching, obviously, this next year. His winning percentage is second to, I think, Newt Rockne overall. Now, that's with for coaches who have 10 years under their belts. But his record is astounding. I mean, he hasn't lost to a team ranked lower than 12th. That was the loss to Oregon in 2021, I think it was. And so, I mean, yes, the Michigan thing is an issue, but don't forget, you know, it helps when the other team knows your signs and knows your plays, right?
Well, we got 21 minutes through the interview before you threw a nice subtle jab, Bill. I appreciate that, my brother.
Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, if you are a baseball team and you're banging the garbage can, right? It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
But look, Michigan, they won. They beat them 3 years in a row. And that's something that Ohio State fans find very difficult, no matter the circumstance. But he also has not just a total a loaded roster. He has, for the first time, a coaching staff that I think he feels really good about. To get Chip Kelly was huge. I mean, the upgrade is astronomical. They had a special teams coach who the special teams were terrible last year. I mean, mistake after mistake after mistake. And
for sure,
assuming they're going to get that fixed. Jim Knowles brought in one of his proteges, Matt Guerrieri. He's going to be the safeties coach and kind of the back-end guy. And so they feel really good about the coaching staff. So everything is in place. Now, does that mean more pressure? Yeah, it does, because that's the expectation. So it's an interesting year. I'm not going to say it's national. I mean, Denzel Burke has said, and we've written about it, you know, natty or bust. Well, I don't think it's quite that stark. It's really hard to win a national championship. I mean, it really is. I mean, you've got
Bill. But when you've got this amount of talent, I think you hit it on the head at the top of the interview, man. It's going to be on Will Howard and this offensive line, point blank. Period. Now, if I was a betting man, I think Will Howard gets replaced at some point. Not the biggest fan of his. I know there's some excitement about his ability to make plays off schedule, and that's the hope. And that's where he elevates them relative to what McCord gave you. But I don't know, man. The quarterback position, a major question mark for Ohio State. And the good thing about it, Bill, is he's got an excellent, excellent supporting cast. I appreciate you giving me some time, as always, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.